time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 29th. Last Saturday in the month of August. It's going to be fall in a week, football season, all that fun stuff. Holidays today, there's just a couple. It's International Bacon Day. Ooh-wee. Gotta love that. And it's More Herbs, Less Salt Day. But I have to do a shout out. Happy 71st birthday to the class of 2016 WWE Hall of Fame, Stan Hansen, and former WWE superstar Kazarni. He's 47 today. If you remember Kazarni, you get a star in the forehead. All right, Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Let's get into the show. We're here to talk pro wrestling. I am the Cash Man, your humble host, with the three squares of power here. We've got Furby. How you doing this morning, Furbs?
Doing fantastic. Glad to be here today.
All right. And to your radio right on the screen, your square, upper right square, is DC Dan Cole from Charlotte, North Carolina. How you doing, DC?
Kernersville, but close enough.
Kernersville.
I'm doing just fine.
And just below you, Artiste is joining us, Rob Sanderson, the man, the myth, the legend. And if you have a job in hockey, you know who to contact. That's right. It's the Artiste in Rochester currently. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, especially if you're listening and you own a hockey team outside of the United States.
Outside.
Give me a call. So I'm doing well. I don't have any garlic bread this week, though, so I'm not as good as last week, but I'm still good.
That was pretty
good. I don't want to upset the Artiste, but I may have, within the last week, had a honey bun.
Oh.
Wow.
It's been a while.
Not just any honey bun, a Donuts Delight honey bun.
The only honey bun that matters, yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
Did you have it shipped, or did someone bring it with them, or?
I kind of snuck in and kept a low profile.
Gotcha.
That's you know, I love all you guys, and I would have loved to reach out to you, but I did the safe, responsible thing. I quarantined down here before I went up to New York, and then I stayed at one place and just kind of – I even had to work.
Oh, man.
So it wasn't really a vacation or a break.
Well, I will say
just a change of scenery.
A change of scenery. Oh, we missed you, lad. We missed you on the show last week. I'm glad you're back this week. We have a lot of things to talk about. And including how we have a traitor amongst us who was in New York and did not tell us. No. I'm kidding. It's funny. You were here in Furby.
I didn't want the police called on me.
Gotcha. You know? I know. It is a COVID-19 world, so we got to live by the rules, or at least pretend to. So, hey, well, welcome back to the show. Welcome, everyone listening to the show. We got a lot of things to talk about. First off, right off the bat, well, let's talk about our local guy, and I'm still going to call him a local guy. I don't care if he lives in Florida. Brody Lee taking the TNT title from Cody Rhodes, or Cody. Sorry, I don't want to get sued or have to pay anybody money. Cody Rhodes And I would almost call it a squash match, to be honest with you. That's what it looked like to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it was.
Wasn't that crazy? It's like, obviously, I think that it was like writing Cody off for a while. Maybe something's wrong with him. I don't know what's going on. But what did you guys think of that whole? And it was beautiful. Listen, I was like jumping up and down and freaking cartwheels around the living room and stuff like that, because it was like good to see. You know, I don't like to see. I mean, it would be great if it was a great match, but it still was a win one way or the other. So what do you guys think?
I mean, Cash, obviously you know we're going to be biased because he is the hometown guy. And we can still claim that because if you watched, he still hails during his introduction as being from Rochester.
That's right.
So it's all good.
Not every time.
But, I mean, I was ecstatic watching that. The fact that it turned out to be a squash, and then the fact that the Dark Order actually raised some hell, that is how I've been waiting to see Brody and the Dark Order booked. I've been waiting for that, and it was masterful, especially when you consider that there had been reports swirling around that because it was taped, somebody said, oh, guess what? He is going to win, but it's only going to be because he's going to get help from Eric Rowan. You know, so that was kind of teased out there. So to see it play out the way it did, I thought it was perfect.
What do you think? What do you think, Mr. Artiste?
I didn't see a 3 minute and 10 second or less squash match coming. Obviously, Cody got in like 5 punches and kicks in the beginning, and that was it. I thought it was smart. I mean, I think we knew that Brody needed to win that match, but they didn't just do that. They made him look dominant, and we know he's capable of that. He got a little bit of mic time. Obviously, like after the match was over, there was still a good amount of time left. I think it almost would have been more surprising had the show started on time. Because like a lot of times you watch a show and it's 8 to 10 and you think, okay, they only have 3 minutes left. They got 2 minutes left, whatever. But we were thrown off because the NBA game went late. And so I didn't really know how much time was left in the episode. Had it been a normal week, I would have been like extra shocked that the finish of the match came with, I don't know, 7 or 10 minutes left in the show, whatever it was. But it just made him look like a monster. Couldn't be happier for him. I love the booking of it. And I think, you know, Cody can respond just fine from this and stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. But congrats to Brody for sure.
Definitely. I think it's just about as perfect of a way to have him win that title as there could have been. It's about time the Dark Order finally gets that big monster push. You know, DC, Rob both said it. I think it was well-deserved. And to kind of answer some of the questions about Cody, he is being written off to do some TV show with Stephen Amell. So he's going to be doing some taping there. So I know that was some of his things on his schedule. But Brody Lee, congrats. It's well-deserved and long awaited.
Well, I will say one thing. I you know, it was a quick match, and then it allowed the Dark Order to go medieval, we'll say, on some people, including Arn Anderson, who Brody Lee pretty much destroyed Arn Anderson during that melee going on. And which is, I mean, not only does he get, you know, put over on Cody, but then he gets put over on a Hall of Famer. And I thought, you know, and you know what? And I don't think we've given the Dark Order a fair shake. At least I didn't. I know we, you know, they came in real hot, you know, and he came in real hot with them and got the melee, the match against Moxley. And then he kind of fell back down the ladder a little bit. This definitely propels them back up there, shows that, you know, that it's a serious, you know, they're serious group, and, you know, and there's more to be said about what's going on. I'm excited for the belt as well. Excuse me. The belt looks wonderful. It's I mean, I love the, you know, and I definitely, you know, kudos to Brody Lee, man. That was awesome. And it was great that he posted online to our good friend Paulie Guglielmo, saying that that Paulie's sauce was the magic ingredient that helped him win that title.
That is good sauce. So I think even Anna Jay attacking Brandy, like everything about that was just great. And you know, I think back to Dark Order last year. Like the last Dynamite of 2019 was in Corpus, and it was that whole thing that ended with the Dark Order attacking the Bucks and stuff, and the punches that weren't even close, and everybody's like, what is going on here? Then you get Brody debuting, but it's in an empty arena. Then you can't have Uno and Stu around because they're stuck in Canada for a while. Now it's finally coming together. And if, like, again, if you don't watch Being the Elite on YouTube on Mondays, I highly suggest it. It's hilarious, and you can get a very, very unfiltered, true Brody Lee on there. Lots of words that will not be heard on TNT, but I think they're going quickly from a group that, quite honestly, not many people cared about to being one of the hottest things in the wrestling world right now, and I love to see it.
It was a great week for him. Not only did he win the title, but he got himself 6 lawnmowers. It was a good week for Mr. Brody.
He doesn't even have a yard.
He doesn't even have a yard.
Yeah. A lot of chilies, too.
Not, well, very interesting. I was going to say, he... You know, it's funny, is a Saturday night, he got a lot of response from a lot of different people, too. It wasn't just the AEW people making comments on Twitter. It was other people there out there, too. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Is it like you go onto the TNT Twitter right now, and their bio just says, Mr. Brody Lee is our champion. Like, this guy who, kayfabe, whatever, like, used to be a co-host of this radio show, yeah, amongst many other things. Like, now, like, he's the bio for the TNT Twitter. It's pretty cool.
That is definitely pretty cool. And it's like, I was going to try to contact him, see if he could come on, but it's like, I have a feeling that he'd be in character and, you know, or have to be in character, you know, at least coming on with us. So, but we'll, you know, we'll, who knows? Maybe we'll get him on, talk a little bit about what, you know, his stuff for the Dark Order. But I thought, you know, and it was a great show overall in general. Anyways, there was a lot of exciting matches on the show. And yeah, that was a kind of a bummer. It took about 6:20 before it started. So it was a little bit later.
Yeah. I think the whole show to me had, and maybe it was because it was a Saturday night and, you know, obviously there was TakeOver and there was SummerSlam and everything else going on. It felt to me like a pay-per-view. It didn't feel like some, you know, regular old weekly TV show. So I think they got a lot of steam right now that hopefully they can keep building on and, you know, now bringing fans back into the venue, everything else. They've got a lot of good things going heading into All Out, which is now only a week away.
Yeah, it definitely had that prime time feel.
Very cool. On that note, we're going to go to break. We're going to go to break, come back, talk some other things as well. I mean, listen, we've had we had not only AEW, but at the same time, we had NXT show, TakeOver 30, we had SummerSlam weekend, and Thunderdome, which has got some interesting stuff, and Pro PWI Top 500 came out. Maybe we'll even squeeze that in and talk a little bit about what's going on with that. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. No, CM Punk is not here. I am the Cash Man. I'm here as well as DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And thank you so much for listening. We're coming. We got a lot of things to talk about. You know, we've started off the show talking about a guy we're going to be biased towards probably his entire career. That's right, Brody Lee winning the AEW TNT Championship. It was very cool to see the local guy getting it again, and, you know, particularly in a squash match. And it's like, I didn't even know, to be honest with you, Furby, until you mentioned it, that's where Cody's going off. It's Stephen Amell. He's making a TV show with him. That was the guy who was the Green Arrow, and he
Green Arrow. Yeah,
we know that Cody was on.
It's actually going to be a TV show, I think, called Heels on Stars. So it's wrestling based, I believe.
Interesting. Very cool. I remember we were talking about that a while ago. So that's pretty cool. So that kind of makes sense. But we're going to talk about some other things. And, you know, like the couple things we really didn't touch much on. Jeff Hardy winning the Intercontinental title? No, yes. Jeff Hardy winning the Intercontinental title on SmackDown last Friday. You know, how could we have missed that? But that was interesting because I did not expect that. You know, it's good. I mean, listen, Jeff Hardy, when the Hardy Boys were really great, Jeff Hardy was a team member. But when they split them apart, Jeff Hardy got the hugest push of the two brothers and won the championship, you know, in Buffalo, by the way. I remember we were all there. Most of us were there, I think. And
I was there.
I was there. I know. I remember climbing down onto the floor and watching JR and them guys all watching Jeff Hardy climb the freaking set. So Jeff Hardy is now back, making his way back up the ladder here after a couple of feuds in which he got over on Sheamus, of course. And I'm happy for the guy. It's good, you know. I mean, you know, yeah, he messed up in the past, but power to him. Let's see how far he goes. But that was pretty impressive on Friday, and then of course Sunday night we have the Fiend beating Braun Strowman. What do you guys think about that? I mean, I'd be honest with you. I know we talked for a long time saying, you know, that, at least I did, saying they're not going to make a lot of changes during this COVID-19, you know, especially because Braun's a guy who definitely pops a crowd, you know, but with no crowd to pop, you know, how long can you keep that title on him? Well, obviously, we know the limit. It ended last Sunday night. They took it, put it on the Fiend, and I think it's a good thing, actually. Any thoughts on that, guys? And you can talk about Jeff Hardy, too, if I just talk too much.
I would agree. It's good to have it back on the... Well, you want to talk about Jeff first, or... I was going to talk about Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, talk about Bray. Go for Bray. You know,
you want my thoughts on Bray first?
Yeah, why don't you go with Bray?
I was just going to say, it's so good to see the title back on him, especially when you go back to the manner in which it was taken off of him.
Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg. Right. And I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what they do. I'm never going to be a Braun Strowman fan. He is too one-dimensional. His catchphrases suck. His gimmick sucks. I'm not a fan at all. It's another one of those big guys that Vince sees and immediately wants to push to the moon. Where Bray Wyatt has character development. He has this aura about him. He's one of the guys you want to see do well. So that means they'll probably just give the title to Roman on Sunday.
Well, I know. That's the amazing thing is we got a pay-per-view less than a week after a pay-per-view. You know, it's like, how do you set that up, you know?
You don't.
I know Rob was very hot on that last week, which he was so right about, you know. But I will say one thing. I don't know if we know this or not, but Braun Strowman debuted 5 years ago this week on WWE TV. So it doesn't seem like he's been around for 5 years, but he's been around for 5 years. So, and
is that as a Rosebud or is the Wyatt family?
That's as the Wyatt family. Wow. Yeah, he was a Rosebud before that. He was the Viking, right?
I don't remember what his character was. I just know he was, along with a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, he was. But yeah, you know, and I kind of agree with you. What do you think, Ferbs, about the Fiend?
One of the biggest Fiend fans out there. I love Bray Wyatt. I think, you know, it's glad to see him have the title back. From what I've seen here, rumors have it that more so they're working back towards the program that they were thought they may have had. Towards WrestleMania, obviously they did the old switcheroo with Fiend going towards Cena even before Roman was taken out of Mania. I think it's awkward with it being a triple threat. Kind of actually nice to see Roman back. Not that I'm the biggest Roman fan, but if he turns out to be a heel, I think it could be done well. Rumors, maybe he's the leader of Retribution. Who knows? I actually do not think we see Roman take the title, though, this Sunday. I think Braun's going to take the pin, Fiend retains, and then we might see something more down the road with Roman and Bray. But happy for it. That's all I can say.
What did his T-shirt say when he came out? It said...
Wreck everything and leave.
It was a very lazy copy of the Austin Arrive, Raise Hell, Leave shirt.
True. Artiste, any thoughts on that? Bray Wyatt?
I mean, I will agree that I'm not a big Braun Strowman fan, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge Fiend fan either. Like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I mean, it would freshen things up maybe if Roman does take it. I never thought I'd be in a place where I would say this, but I think that was him coming out at the end of SummerSlam was maybe the most exciting WWE part of the weekend. And I don't know. It's a chance to kind of revitalize things a little bit. And I don't want to see that much more of Bray and Braun at this point. At least there's somebody else in the match on Sunday, having to watch them wrestle each other again. But pretty much the rest of the card is more interesting to me. The rest of the SmackDown roster is more interesting to me than those two. So,
well, yeah,
I was just going to throw out real quick too. I was kind of disappointed because there was someone missing that I figured would have had a role in that, and that was Alexa Bliss. I really thought they were going to like pull the trigger and do something big with her during that main event, but she was a no-show.
Yeah, actually, she was kind of disappointed that she wasn't involved. She originally was told, I guess, she was supposed to be involved, but she ended up on the cutting room floor, as they say. But, you know, as soon as I saw, you know, we were waiting to see what kind of match it was going to be. Was it going to be, you know, a movie, or was it going to be a match? As soon as I saw it was going to be a match, it's like, okay, unless they go into the backstage area and it turns into a movie, this is just going to be a straight-out heads-up match. And that's really what it turned out to be, which was a surprise because you never know when it involves the Fiend, where they're going with it. But that is a surprise. And, yeah, no Alexa Bliss. I was kind of bummed about that because, I think she wants to, you know, do something a little bit different than what she's been doing. And you know, but, you know, power to them all. I'm not disappointed in the results, though. But, you know, the funniest thing I saw from Bray Wyatt the next day was a tweet out to Goldberg. And it said, if you see a red light, avoid it. You know, or if you see a, you know, glowing red light, please don't go near there. So he basically told him, you know, if I'm around, don't come around, you know. So because, you know, we the way it happened last time. So it was very interesting. But this pay-per-view, now SummerSlam in general, what did you guys think? I mean, there were some entertaining matches. I did enjoy a couple of the matches. I was hoping Asuka was going to sweep and, you know, come out with double champion, but she still took the one that she had taken from her. And now we're going to get a tag match, which maybe they could, you know, strip some more belts from Sasha and Bayley there. But is there anything you guys thought about SummerSlam that was, you know, anything you really enjoyed? And that was one thing. But, I mean, I thought there was a couple of solid matches. I thought Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton was a pretty good match, too.
I thought overall it was definitely the best WWE show they've ran in quite some time. There was definitely the element of surprise with Roman at the end. I'm actually a big fan of the Thunderdome. It livens up the crowd a little bit. At least it gives it some brightness and a little bit more light to it. Overall, the matches I thought were pretty good. Very, very impressed with the Drew and Orton match. But I thoroughly enjoyed SummerSlam this year.
Yeah, Drew and Orton, that was solid wrestling match. I mean, I think those, again, two guys that I don't really go out of my way to watch a lot of their matches, but certainly have come around to appreciating how good Orton is in the ring. And obviously, Drew's had a number of great matches as well, especially, you know, since he came back. I think the Thunderdome itself has made a huge difference. I don't love every aspect of it, but at least like I don't get too distracted by the individual squares or anything. I just think that the fact that they're in a big arena as opposed to a little room, it helps a lot. I don't know if, you know, Raw started on Monday. They had the pyro with the Raw logo on the stage. I would assume like just play that same clip every week instead of wasting money on the pyro in front of an empty arena anyway. Might as well, but I definitely think it made a difference for sure. So SummerSlam I thought was good. I think match-wise, maybe there was stuff on TakeOver I liked better, but SummerSlam, I guess, was a show that there was no match that was a match of the year contender in my mind, but it also, there weren't any matches that I absolutely hated. And I feel like it's the first pay-per-view in a while I could say that.
How about you, DC?
I agree wholeheartedly with the artiste. Yeah, like there was nothing that I would ever go back and watch from SummerSlam, but there was also nothing I was like, wow, this is absolutely horrible. And as far as the Thunderdome goes, aside from a couple hiccups, I agree with everybody else that it does liven things up a bit. However, maybe a little less with the lights and lasers. I legit
I knew where you were going to say that.
I was
the laser
beams. Watching.
Yeah.
There's too many lasers on those entrances and stuff, yeah. But again, you soon enough, we're going to have a canvas and ropes and everything that are all going to be LED boards with LED wrestlers.
I blame
and sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
Yeah. For $1 million. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to come back, talk a little bit maybe about the Thunderdome and some of the things that people caught when they stopped the action with a little pause button. And but beyond that, we also want to talk a little bit about the NXT show, too. The NXT, in which we got a new champion for about less than 24 hours. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the next segment. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280 WHTK. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And I feel a little rocky inside, so I'm playing a little of the Eye of the Tiger. That's I think Hulk Hogan came out with that for a while. But welcome back to the show. We're here talking pro wrestling. You know, we've had an incredible weekend last weekend, and you definitely want, you know, we've got to catch up a little bit. But let's talk. We didn't talk much about NXT from this past Saturday. It was on at the same time as AEW. Now, if you're good, you can switch back and forth between your Roku watching the WWE Network and TNT. You know. But we got NXT. It was pretty solid pay-per-view. I enjoyed our live event, whatever it might be. But we got to see a new champion. Karrion Kross beats, and I had no idea Keith Lee was going to get the big thumbs up and move up to Raw until we saw the pay-per-view the next night, SummerSlam. But Karrion Kross, with a separated shoulder, beats Keith Lee, which I watched the whole match, and you could tell at one point that Karrion Kross definitely was injured. But he beat Keith Lee and took the title, and then unfortunately due to the injuries, reminded me a lot of Finn Balor when he won that title when he beat Seth Rollins and then had to give it up the next night. What'd you guys think? I mean, Karrion Kross was like on a hot streak to number one. You know, I mean, he was pushed to the moon in a very short time, and it was great that he won. And I think the guy looks a lot, and this is just me, and I've said it a few times, he looks a lot like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's got the same kind of body, and that's the kind of body Vince McMahon likes, muscular, thin, tall, bald-headed, and a tough guy.
Him and Roman Reigns share a dentist.
Apparently so. We saw a lot of the teeth going on. But what'd you guys think about Kross winning that title and then having the unfortunate deal to have to drop it or put it down on the next NXT show?
I mean, the way they were pushing him, it kind of had to happen that way. Because you knew ever since Survivor Series that, Keith Lee had main roster star written all over him, as long as they don't screw it up. And very unfortunate to see him get injured and have to relinquish the title already. But holy hell, the match we're getting to determine the next champion. I don't remember the last time I've been this excited for a match.
Yeah, for a four-way, hour-long
Iron Man match,
which whoever gets the most falls in the 1 hour four-way next two. And the interesting thing is it's a Tuesday night. We're going to get wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this coming week, because we have AEW on Thursday. We have NXT on Tuesday.
I think AEW's back to Wednesday next week.
I'm sorry, it's Wednesday. That's right. We get Thursday off, and then we get Friday. When they announced that on NXT, I like, whoa, this is, and the people that are involved in it, unbelievable,
And I think arguably you could say it's three of your four best NXT champions of all time as well. In that match with Ciampa, Cole, and Balor, I'm very intrigued to see this. Someone's going to be a two-time NXT champ.
What do you think, Artiste? Do you follow this tight with Kross? And I mean, I know it's disappointing to see a guy who, pretty much knew he was hurt, too. I mean, I think he knew he was hurt, like, at about 3 minutes into that match, because you could see the way he was working with his one arm down. But what'd you think?
That's what I don't necessarily love about it, is it's like one of those situations where, you know, Triple H can get in the headset with the referee and like think about calling an audible, but if Keith Lee was going up anyway, I don't know. I hate the way that it happens for Cross. I like Cross a lot. I think he was definitely going to win the belt. Do I feel like this is a little early? Yeah, maybe. Had they known, like, he was hurt, they could have called the audible, had Keith Lee win, maybe delayed Keith Lee going to Raw. Stick with the plan. I don't know. Like Danny was saying, I'm super excited for that four-way Iron Man. I think that's going to be a match of the year contender on paper already. I don't know. Cross has to respond big when he does come back, and I don't know how long he's actually going to be out. It's, in a way, unfortunate that they can't just, you know, if it was 6 weeks, if it was only 6 weeks, then maybe you just wait. But I don't know. I had mixed feelings when it happened at first, when we didn't necessarily know for sure that he was injured. But I don't know. I mean, still happy. He's got a ton of potential. I just, to me, again, like, Cross is somebody that we could have waited a little longer to put the belt on. And especially now, the way that it happens, I don't know.
Oh, no, I agree. And the thing about it is, you know, how do you, I mean, yeah, we didn't know Keith Lee was moving up, and we knew pretty much after the match that he was hurt. You know, I mean, it was pretty quick that came out. And now I think the reason he left the belt in the ring on Tuesday night NXT, or Wednesday night NXT, was because he had an MRI, and there's more damage than we know. We haven't really heard what exactly it was. It was a separated shoulder, suspected at first, but it's a separated shoulder. You can be out maybe 6 weeks and come back from something like that. But I think this is a little bit more serious, you know, and that's why. And some people have been saying you're not going to see him for a while, so which is a shame, because I've dug his whole persona. I like the whole, you know, the hour, you know, the sand hour sand. What is it called? The clocks he used,
the hourglass,
the hourglass there, and I think that, and I kind of like, and I mean, and the girl that's with him is absolutely beautiful. You can't doubt that one bit, and it's just, I like how, you know, he came in and ruffled some feathers from the very beginning, but now it's like he's gonna, hopefully it's not too long, but if it is, he's gonna have to, you know, come out and do it again, and it's a shame. It's just a shame. Ferbs, what you think? You know, I mean, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I have to say, the way that the match went down, I could see clearly there was one spot where he came down on the mat. I can't remember if it was a power bomb.
It was something. It was like it was like a Russian leg sweep or something, and they both went down at the same time, and I think Keith Lee landed on him.
Yep, he came right down on his shoulder, and you saw him come up, and he didn't use his right arm basically the rest of the night. You could see where the shoulder was displaced. I think the way that they've been building up Cross, you had to have him go with the victory, especially if they knew Keith Lee was going up. And then I think they're playing the right audible now. I think we will see Cross come back. Will he regain his title when he comes back? I guess it all depends on the outlook of where the main roster is at that point. I kind of compare his injury actually a little bit more similar to when Drew McIntyre hurt his tricep when he lost to Andrade. It kind of like they almost had that same momentum. And then the next time we saw McIntyre was back on the main roster tagging with Dolph Ziggler. So I think it's probably too early for Cross to do that, since he didn't have as much exposure on NXT that Drew did. But the championship win definitely portrays him as still being that dominant character. And I actually think the promo that he cut when relinquishing the title was probably one of the best segments he's had on TV so far. So very sorry to hear about it. Very sad. But just quick speak about the rest of the TakeOver show.
Yeah.
It wowed me. It wowed me, actually. I didn't have very many expectations for TakeOver 30. And it was one of the best takeovers I've seen in a bit. So I was very impressed.
I would agree. And I will say one thing about Cross. Now, I've seen him on Impact Wrestling, and I always felt this guy was another one of those guys when he brought into WWE that he could have gone right to the main roster. I felt, and now that with the injury and everything, maybe that's how they'll bring him back, put him right back on the main roster. But one thing that did that just kind of popped out of me about on NXT, what did you guys think about Bad News Barrett showing up and doing the commentary? And I'll tell you, folks, Mauro Ranallo's had some sort of family emergency, and that's why he didn't do the pay-per-view on Saturday. And we got Corey doing the which I thought was great. Believe me, the commentary was really solid on the NXT show on Saturday night. But having Wade Barrett pop up last night, and I thought Wade did great. Wade was doing NWA Power before he came to NXT, and I thought he did a great job, and I'm hoping it's not a one-time deal.
Sounds like he's going to be back on Tuesday from the way he was talking about the four-way Iron Man match. So it sounds like he's going to be there again.
I think he's the best commentator they've had on that show in a long time. Overall, counting play-by-play, counting color, counting everything.
Well,
did a great job.
He reminds me a lot of Nigel, but I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, but it, you know, because they're both maybe got that English accent. But, you know, I thought, yeah, he did a great job. And
Nigel's one of my favorite people too. So, I just think Wade is really good at it. He's smooth.
DC, anything on that?
I just want to hear him say he's got some bad news. Just one more time.
I will say that Wade did compare him being injured when he won a title and having to give it up, which I thought was a great comparison when Cross came out and did it too. So kudos to him, and who knows how long he'll be around, and hopefully Mauro Ranallo's not gone too long. I like a lot of them. You know, it's like they all have their strengths in different areas and everything. So one thing I mentioned before we went to break, and I wanted to tease a little bit, was that Thunderdome we all kind of talked about. I didn't give my opinion on it about, you know, we watched it, and it was great seeing it. And if you signed up for it, cool, let us know, because they're still going to be doing this every week. So, but the thing that was really bizarre is people froze frames and found some weird stuff. Like someone had posted Chris Benoit's picture, and it was on the screen for long enough that you could actually see it. But also we saw, what was some other things, Danny? Was the KKK guy.
The KKK person, yeah. Someone sleeping, someone showing a live video of a beheading.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first heard they were going to let people kind of video stream in, I'm like, how are they going to pull this off without having issues?
And yeah.
Week one has proved that, okay, they're going to have to be a little more diligent with this.
Makes you wonder who the heck is watching these cameras, because I think the NBA has been doing it longer and they haven't had really any issues yet. So come on, WWE.
Have you guys tried to sign up yet and saw the rules that they have on the list there about how you can't move, you can't change clothes? And it's like, and you're just asking for people to do this stuff. But I thought the Chris Benoit one, that was pretty drastic. I saw clowns on there. Okay.
And the MJF 2020 sign.
Yeah, MJF 2020. Yep. Yeah, that was during SummerSlam. We saw that too. So I think there's a recipe for disaster. And the WWE is only learning about it by all of us out there who are capturing those pictures and putting them up online. So maybe they'll get better. And it's tough when you have what looks like about 40,000 faces or whatever, you know. And so, I mean, we were trying to figure out, was it the same one over and over, or were they using just like, you know, stock footage? But you could see people clapping when they should have been clapping, and people booing when they should have been booing. So,
you know what it reminded me of? A really old wrestling video game where they would have no choice but to copy and paste some of the people in the audience. You know, and they cheer for stuff that doesn't make sense. They boo for stuff that doesn't make sense.
I agree 100%. We're going to go to break on that. Got one more segment left. We're maybe squeezing some news, maybe the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500. Maybe we can like tease people with the top 10 at least. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Cowboy.
welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little flashback. Little flashback here with a cowboy to, what, is it Jeff Jarrett? Well, it's not Jeff Jarrett, of course. It's that doofus from Detroit. But welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with Furby, DC Dan Cole, and the Artiste. And Danger Boy, unfortunately, is having some technical issues getting on. So he's going to be listening just like everybody else is this week. So, guys, we got one last segment. Maybe we can do some news. We did talk about pretty much most of the news so far. We did tease about the four-way that's going on in NXT this week. Ciampa, Gargano, Baylor, and Adam Cole. We will have a two-time champion at the end of this. I'm super excited for this. Great! It's going to be a great Tuesday night for wrestling. Cannot wait for that. It's interesting. WWE, they came out, Dave Meltzer came out with WWE statistics on stats on how many positive COVID-19 cases they've had. And what they say is 37 or 38 positive since the beginning of this. And they really were keeping hush hush on that. And that's a lot. That means people were like circulating and around when they before they came in and did stuff. And it's it kind of makes sense though. It's Florida and they're getting 9,000 new positive cases a day down there. But I think they're doing their best now to keep people and hopefully they're doing testing. We talked about how they weren't for a while. And I'm sure they are now, but it's just interesting that
they stopped testing. But I mean, it doesn't excuse the way they handled it in the beginning, and especially hiding the fact that some people had it from other people in the company. Like, you need to communicate that at least internally, so people need to know if they came in contact with the person, whatever. So that whole thing still bothers me quite a bit.
Yeah, and the number of people, and I think one of the first names we heard about was one of the announcers that had gotten it. I can't remember.
Caleb Braxton.
Yeah.
And got it again.
So, Man, so it's hopefully you're all being safe out there listening to the show right now and everything. But another piece of news from this week, the class of 2020 WWE Hall of Fame most likely will be inducted in the 2021 Hall of Fame inductions at that 2021 WrestleMania. I had heard that before, that they were, some people were saying, when the world starts moving again, maybe they'll do it at SummerSlam, but the world is not going quite yet. We're still kind of in a holding pattern,
No, not at all.
No. Yeah, it's going to be a while.
It's getting more and more frustrating, too. We talked about, not to go on a huge tangent, but, got laid off when the hockey season came to an end because this thing got out of control. The team I was working for just announced that they're taking the whole next season off. Another team in the division did that. There's going to be more and more of that in sports. So for minor league sports, everything else are getting killed by this. So it'd be nice if people would just wear a damn mask if you're listening to this right now, because you're killing a lot of industries. And who knows when we'll be able to really go to true concerts and stuff again, because people are being selfish. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's okay. I agree with you 100%.
Stay up there.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I've been following the rules. I want everybody else to, I want to get this thing. I want to get this thing gone, I want to be able to go out and do these fun things again.
Wearing a mask is the bare damn minimum you can do to be a decent human being right now.
It is.
And it's not even
plain
hard.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
It's not even a hard thing to do.
I worked my whole day climbing up and down ladders with it on, and the more I do it, the less impeding of breathing it's happening. So that's not an excuse to anybody. But I will tell you that the 2020 class of Hall of Fame class was going to be the NWO, Jushin Thunder Liger, the British Bulldog, the Bella Twins, JBL and Batista. I could live without pretty much all of those inductions right now. That's going to get held off. So let's talk a little bit about the PWI Top 500 that came out. Tease it or tell people to turn the radio down because it's a spoiler, or do we just
I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you've seen the news.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about it then. What's the top 10?
Controversy. Do you want me to go from 10 to 1?
Yeah, go 10 to 1.
So, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Okada, Naito, Drew McIntyre, Chris Jericho, Adam Cole, John Moxley.
John Moxley, number one. I wonder what his highest peak was before that. I know he had to be a top 10 before. But
well, it also is the last member of the Shield to top the number one spot.
There we go. Not part of a Shield, of course, but you're right. Interesting. You know what's funny is Kofi Kingston, the reluctant champion. I will only say that because of some of the things that have happened this past week. I don't know if you guys followed the controversy about him being on the what's the Talking Smack show where. The Miz hosted it, and Big E came on and said that, you know, Kofi Kingston spent 11 years before he ever got a chance, and then Miz said, you know, he immediately got knocked down the ladder, and Miz said, well, same thing happened to me, and it's like, but Miz didn't take quite 11 years to get to that point, and so him and E were going back and forth about it on the show, kind of, you know, saying that, you know, that white privilege, he was kind of implying white privilege with the Miz, you know, that, you know, because he wasn't, you know, because of, you know, what part of their argument, and I kind of agree, and I think, you know, and Kofi, I call him the reluctant champion because I don't think anybody, I mean, he was saying that nobody backstage ever had his back ever, you know, he got there because he was in the right place at the right time when someone else got hurt, but I thought that,
and not only that, they always said from the beginning the plan was for him to get squashed by Brock.
Yeah, and that's what he said, too, as well. Big E said that on the Talking Smack show. So I thought that was pretty interesting because he was talking real stuff, and him and The Miz were getting into it while it was going on. If you want to go back, I think you can listen to it. It's probably still up. But, you know, there's a lot of truth behind that, and it's a shame that, you know, that... you know, and it's great he's in the top 10, so that kind of struck me kind of weird, you know. I mean, that he's a top 10 wrestler, but nobody had his back to push him to the, you know, up the ladder. So, you know,
I looked it up. Moxley was, as Ambrose, number 8 in 2017, number 9 in 2016. Those were his only times in the top 10 before. Last year he was 20. You know what, like, from the time we found out about this until now, the more and more I think about it, like the evaluation period from July of last year through the end of June this year, Moxley's had some really big pay-per-view matches. He hasn't done a ton on Dynamite, but he's had some really solid pay-per-view matches. And when you factor in all of his New Japan stuff from last summer, from the G1, the US heavyweight title, the IWGP and stuff, like, I know a lot of people aren't happy about Moxley getting number one, but I feel like that might be the right choice. I think Jericho is in that conversation if you're talking AEW only. And obviously Adam Cole deserves to be right in that conversation with those two. But because of what Moxley did in Japan during that time frame as well, I think that absolutely factors in that he's not my favorite person in AEW, but I'm going to agree with him being number one.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't even think about this, but thinking that Jericho, you know, Jericho, I mean, he's like an MVP of the business this past year. Some of the things
I definitely would give 100%.
Yeah.
Without any hesitation whatsoever, I think he's undisputed number one for what he's done to elevate others, for his promos, for everything that doesn't really factor into a PWI 500. The eyeballs that he's put on a new product that's stepped up everybody's game and stuff. I totally agree with that.
So how about this? Can we come to an agreement? So Chris Jericho, the MVP, these three things I'm about to say, while they might sound the same, in my head, they're three totally different things. Chris Jericho is your MVP of the year. Dean Ambrose, or John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, had the best year, but I think Adam Cole was the best wrestler this year.
Yeah, I would agree.
I can't argue with that at all.
I mean, even looking back at just last weekend's pay-per-view where he wrestled a guy who's never had a match before, and they put on a pretty good match. I'm not, you know, Pat McAfee did not look like he's never been in the ring before. You know, it was a good match.
And they did not rehearse. Yeah. They went out there and did the damn match.
I owe Pat McAfee an apology from last week. That's for sure. He definitely impressed me. It definitely. I know we talked about it briefly, but it was the best like celebrity or athlete appearance I've seen in the ring from Pat McAfee. So, bravo.
Yeah, I still think he's an absolute tool, and I can't stand him, but he absolutely performed in the ring. You can't take that. I mean, that was one of the best matches of the weekend, and kudos to him.
Yeah, I will say he unfortunately lost his CBS radio show that he was doing. He had a national distributor for his show, and it kind of ended this past week, only because he was filling in for somebody else who got moved up to the mornings. But Pat's, you know, I don't know. I think Pat's got a lot on his plate, and I think that he's got a lot of potential for what's going, you know, where he can go. And I think WWE, he definitely showed WWE that he can do stuff like that. So.
And hopefully they get back in contract talks with him, because from what I heard, that was basically the last thing of his contract with WWE and NXT. So we'll see how true that is. But
well, if Michael Cole had his way, he'd wear pants. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, because he's the guy. He's the pantless wonder. He likes to wear those, you know. I'm not gonna say jorts, but they look like jorts to me. But you know,
they're like golf shorts.
You heard the story, didn't you, about WrestleMania when he showed up in those, and Michael Cole kind of gave, you know, dressed him down in front of everybody. You know, it's like, yep. But that's his gimmick. You know, it's like, and I think sometimes people don't get it. But
stay in your lane, Michael Cole. Two words for you: WrestleMania and 27.
Definitely. So we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank you guys. This show couldn't have been done if it wasn't for you guys showing up. Of course, Furby being in Hilton, D.C., down in North Carolina, the Artiste in Rochester, and me in the Mission Control here. But of course, we always end with the same song. But I want to thank you guys. Please check out all our old shows on feelthepain.net, thepainclinic.net. You can find also iTunes. Be our friend on Facebook, and you can watch us when we're live on Facebook. It's always a lot of fun to do the Facebook Live. I haven't seen you guys live because of this COVID-19 thing since March. It's really sad. I want to have you guys back up in the studio, and maybe you'll be back up sometime soon. But thank you, Artiste. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby, and Danger Boy, wherever you are. I know you're listening. I'm sure you'll be back next week. But thanks for coming on the show. And we got a lot of stuff done. We got some good stuff coming. We got a great match Tuesday night. That's what I'm super psyched about. It's kind of going to get me going through the week. And you guys have a good week, okay? Thank you. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll see you next week, folks.